Okay, we're now being recorded. Welcome to this week's Aries Working Group U.S. afternoon call. This call is being recorded, and please mind the Hyperledger Code of Conduct and the antitrust policy. Let's be nice to each other and avoid doing illegal things. If you can, I'll grab this link and put it in the chat. If you are interested in having other people be able to contact you, please add yourself to the attendees list, and that will help us connect with each other. Is there anyone that is new on the call or hasn't been around in a while and wants a minute to introduce themselves? We've learned to not wait to the end because it never happens. Okay, if you would like to introduce yourself, please do so on a future call or later on if we've got a minute. Fall conference season is upon us, and we have quite a number of conferences and meetups and things going on. Quickly, My Data is going on nowish, and we hope to hear a report of that in the future. I know that Stephen Curran and a few others are attending there. Next week is IIW. The October 1st through the 3rd. That is an excellent conference. If you've never been to it, lots of work goes on, lots of learning, good discussion, and food is included, which is really awesome. So IW is next week. I know the DIF has a face-to-face meeting the day before that on Monday. October 1st is a Tuesday. So that will be a good event as well. There is a couple of Hyperledger events. We've got a meetup in Belgrade next week as well. And then the week after next week is the Hyperledger Maintainer Summit in Minneapolis, and then followed by a Hyperledger boot camp in Russia. Previously mentioned Workshop Connectathon December 3rd through 5th in Provo. And then there's a handful of announcements here from last week, and I didn't know if we should leave these or take them off. Based on the people who asked to add them. Mention here, switching from the connections protocol to the data exchange protocol. There's a number of items for discussion in today's agenda for that. So we'll leave that here and then talk about it when we get to the bulk part of our meeting. Troy, is this announcement worth persisting? Is Troy here? Troy is here. Troy might be looking for his mute button. Okay. This also sort of relates probably to our discussion today. Kiva on the Aries wallet implementation. Cam, do we have Cam? I don't see Cam. He was on this morning's meeting. Okay, so if you're interested in working with Kiva there,
And that's probably more of a work update than an announcement. We did discuss that on the morning meeting at some length. People should watch the recording to get an update about what Kiva's intentions are and how best to contribute.
Yes. We're jumping ahead to the related meetings. But yes. Okay. And then Michael Herman. Do we have Michael Herman? I don't see him. And the DIDDoc server based on the DNS framework. Okay, any announcements that I didn't cover before we get to related meetings? Okay, related meetings. We had this was the week for the morning Aries call, and that happened. It was good, and the recording is present here. So lots of discussion there to kind of bring up a bunch of issues and stuff. We got a little bit of info from Cam on what Kiva is doing. They're a big player and in working to supply lots of governments and things. So that's worth being aware of. There's not a ton of resolution in that call, I'll warn you, but it'll help if you haven't been aware of some of the discussion and controversy there. That will help add a little bit of color. Anything else on that morning call, Richard?
Hi, that's a pretty good summary.
Okay. Any other meeting updates for Ursa Semantics contributors, implementers?
So the key update for many contributors is that we have been talking about the updated view change protocol being released for Indy for some time. That we said it would be September. It's probably going to be October.
Okay. Other meeting updates. Okay. We have work updates. There's a little bit of indentation problem here. Work updates. I do see Andrew, even though we don't have Steven. Andrew, are there any work updates on the Ares Cloud Agent Python project?
So we're, can you hear me?
Yes.
We should be putting out the 0.3.3 release today. Just wrapping up a few fixes. I think the current release has an issue with a dependency that got updated, so this should fix that for some people. And we may or may not have the delivery queue in there.
Yes, that depends on my ability to navigate a testing mocking problem. But yes, awesome. So very cool. Ares Framework Go, Troy. I see some meeting notes that have been added. Okay. Any of the other frameworks that anyone wants to report on? I can blanket ask here, and that way we can avoid the one by one with no one adding anything.
Hi, this is Mushmi here.
Yes.
We had a meeting with the Python group. The BCGov folks joined last Wednesday, and they gave us an overview of what strategies they have applied and how to approach it. By the way, quick question. Do you guys record your meeting minutes on a separate wiki page? Because I have the recording. I need to upload it somewhere.
So when we have a page for the meeting, we usually take care of the meeting notes in it. And if there isn't, you can always go add a new meeting underneath the upper page up here, underneath Ares Working Group. You can always add one with a date and the title, whatever it happened to be, and then you can add the recording to that page. Does that help?
Yes, I'll create one for Java SDK so that we can track the meeting minutes. We will start looking at the dead exchange protocol.
Well, careful. We'll talk about that later in the meeting.
Okay.
But yes. Okay.
Sounds good.
Other project updates. Okay. We will. I'm not hearing any, and that's okay. This is fall conference schedule, and so for those of you unfamiliar or new to the community, a lot of the there's a lot of events happening kind of week after week, and so for the probably about the next month, we're going to have random people that are normally here that won't actually be here. On that note, it is nice though sometimes to have a call for those that are not at an event to catch up on whatever. The question being is that next week is IW that an awful lot of us are going to. Do we have an interest in having a call next week during the time of IW? It's very difficult for IW attendees to attend, but do we want to have that call anyway?
I don't want to try to be in two places at once, so I would probably skip regardless of what decision we make here. So I'm just, at least there would be one attendee down. It'd be interesting to see how many other attendees would not come.
Right. Yeah, but no.
Yeah, I agree. IW tends to get away from us, and it's hard to schedule a call during it.
Yeah, that doesn't work well. So my question is, does anyone want this call to happen next week at the regularly scheduled time enough to host it? I should attach that there since I will also be at IW and unable to participate in the call. Okay. I am planning on it being canceled then. I will likely create a meeting agenda for it still in case anyone comes along and note that the meeting has been canceled in favor of IW. And then we will hear follow-ups the following week. that is unfortunately the Indy Maintainer Summit or the Aries Hyperledger Maintainer Summit. And so a few of us will also be out for that, but the majority should be back after then. Okay, we will plan on next week's meeting being canceled then. Just because of how many of us will be there. And again, if you've never been to IW, it is really a fantastic event, and I encourage you, if possible, to attend. There are minutes that are produced out of that event, but they tend to be a lot more sparse than you would like. And so it's worth being there if you can. Okay. On today's agenda, we have a number of topics. I stuck Daniel Hardman's at the top, and Daniel, I didn't have a chance to grab your link, but I will in a second. To talk about test suite importance, I know via the chat history that you have been trying to bring that up for a couple of weeks, so I stuck you first. I'm going to rearrange this slightly here. Prior to talking about the DID exchange protocol, I would like to talk about the concept of an in-process RFC as it relates to DID exchange and add a little bit of color there. And then we'd like to talk about decorator versioning and then other future topics and open discussion if we have time for that. Any adjustments that we need to make to the agenda before we get started? Okay, Daniel, I am going to give you the screen.
Okay.
And you can take away our first topic.
Okay, this should be relatively short. I have already raised a PR about this topic, and I had one or two Aries maintainers kind of nod their heads and say they felt like it was reasonable, but I didn't feel good about merging this without a broader community awareness. So basically what this PR number 220 does is it changes some verbiage in the root README of the Aries repo to clarify how we intend to use a test suite as it relates to RFC statuses. So you'll see that, you know, the old verbiage here talked about what demonstrated means, and the new verbiage talks about what demonstrated means. And the difference is, in the case of demonstrated, we're saying that by the time that you get to demonstrated status, you should have begun working on adding some tests for your protocol, if that's the kind of RFC you've written. And then by the time you get to accepted status, you have to have some tests in the test suite and an implementation that passes the tests. Besides, the test suite itself because it has tests, must have implemented whatever protocol we're talking about, and there must be another implementation that you could point to as well. And I think the rest of these show up as green just because I changed line breaks, but those are the two substantive changes here. And so what I'm essentially suggesting is that we need to be paying more attention to whether or not there is an objective test that tells us what the behavior of the protocol is supposed to be, that acts kind of as an oracle. And that when we accept something, the accepted status, we've already said, kind of means that the community has said, yeah, we think this is a good target to try to implement, and we've got at least one implementation that tells us this works. One of the things that would come along with that then is an intention to pass the test. And then somewhere in this verbiage, I don't remember where it is, that this is it. The implementations listed in an RFC with an accepted status have to hyperlink to their test results. So we would start saying, not necessarily they all have to pass, but that if you have an implementation of a particular protocol and you want to claim it's an implementation and the protocol is mature, then you need to actually hyperlink to output from the test suite so that it shows what your current test results are. So what does the community think about that? Does it feel okay? Before you answer, I guess, let me just show you the other thing. This Let me change which screen I'm sharing. So this is a terminal window on my machine where I just ran PyTest code on the Aries RFC repo. And this is the branch where a unit test has been implemented to enforce the rules that are described in the text I just showed you. And it you'll see that there are about, I don't know, a dozen places where currently we break the rules that this PR would propose. Specifically, there are places where we claim that something is an implementation, but we don't have tests. And that shouldn't surprise us because we knew we didn't have any. And there's one or two places where we say this is an RFC that has an accepted status, but we don't yet have any tests in the test suite for it. So if we were to merge the PR that I'm talking about, we would have to grandfather these in and then gradually clean them up or something like that. So now let me ask the question, what do you guys think about it?
One of the things that I'm thinking about is like, how do you do this in terms of like granularity? So for example, right now we have an implementation of StreetCred's mobile app. And then they're relying on the agent framework .NET work. Is the implementation supposed to be the agent framework .NET that's being tested, or is it supposed to be street cred that's being tested?
So that's kind of up to us to decide. And I don't think this PR would kind of be agnostic to that question. Right now, all that we've said about implementations is you have to give a name to your implementation and use it consistently. So if we wanted to put only framework level implementations in, we could do that. Or if we wanted to put only product level implementations in, we could do that. Or if we wanted to mix and match them, we could do it.
Okay.
Or both. Like we could put all low level implementations and we could put all high level product implementations. And if we did that and the product didn't have any test results other than the ones of its framework, it could just hyperlink to the results of its framework.
Alrighty.
I really like this direction. So my comment has nothing to do with direction. It has everything to do with timing. I worry that we have precious few code bases that have actually spent any time against the test suite at all. Now, that might be part of why you're trying to motivate this, and that's a good goal. But I'm uneasy slightly about how little participation I think we probably actually have in the test suite.
Well, yes, I agree with that. And that's one of the reasons, if you look at this pull request, why it's got a red X next to it. I deliberately made it so that this pull request could not be merged because it wasn't passing a test. And that's the test that I just showed the results for. I don't actually want it to be merged. Like if everybody said, yeah, we like it, I wouldn't turn around and vote that it get merged in an hour. Rather, I would vote that somebody work on this in the background and see if we can get it that way. Until the unit tests for our repo all pass, we shouldn't merge it. And the unit tests are the things that say, okay, do we have implementations that have hyperlinks to the right things and whatever. So one possible action here is that we just say, yes, we agree in concept, go work on making this pass in the background. Another possibility is we say, we won't even agree in concept until we know how much effort is entailed and we don't want to think about it till after IIW. So just let the PR sit until we think about it some more. Either of those would be reasonable outcomes in my mind.
So it strikes me that a couple things. Number one, I think this is super valuable in the community. And I'm going to shut up in a minute and let someone dissent if they think it's a bad plan. But I think that devoting regular time in this meeting to the status of the test suite and ongoing improvements would help raise the visibility of the work there and where help is needed. Daniel Bloom expressed to me earlier that he's done a lot of the work in the test suite so far, and he's worried about being able to keep up with that kind of a pace and with this level of requirement, and would very, very certainly need help to maintain the test suite under that case. So I think that considering this to be a goal and leaving it unmerged and then bringing it up on a regular basis would be a really good idea. I do suspect that it's going to be several weeks through fall conference season here before we see very substantial progress, although hopefully we see some along the way. Is there anyone that thinks this is a terrible idea? And please don't not say anything because you feel like it's socially unacceptable to like vote against testing. If you think the approach is incorrect, we really want to hear about it.
I'm totally in favor of having a reference test suite against which all implementations should comply with.
You're here.
Okay. I think then if people feel okay about the general idea, let's leave the PR unmerged, but kind of agree in principle that we'll work on this after we come back from IIW and see if we can get to the point where everything, all the stars align such that it could be merged. Does that sound like a reasonable approach? By the way, let me just say the comprehensiveness of tests here is kind of a secondary concern. If the first test suite just has like one or two tests, I feel like it's more important to have a test suite, number one, and number two, to hook it up to like continuous integration pipelines and such that it's starting to give feedback. And then once we have that, then we can worry about like adding more tests and deciding what tests need to pass. The nature of the test suite is that I think there might be certain tests that we say are really fundamental, like if you don't encrypt in a way that's compatible with everybody else, then you probably can't pass anything else. But there's other tests, like there's optional features in some protocols, and it's probably perfectly fine to not pass tests about optional features. So there's some nuancing and sophistication that has to be built into the test suite that I know that Daniel has thought about, Daniel Bloom, but I don't think we're trying to ask people to make a commitment in principle to an infinite amount of work on test suites and interop, but just to start taking baby steps.
In regards to the encryption stuff, I do think that we should put it in here given the progress of where it's been, where it's going, and where it can end up. I think there's going to be a lot of value in just having like a basic like hello world sent through the encryption to make sure encryption is being done right as a separate test.
So this is a black box test suite. So the way it interacts with agents under test is to actually send it a message. So there definitely needs to be a basic message. I don't mean basic message. That was poor wording. I mean the simplest message possible that just runs through to make sure that that's actually working correctly. The more specific tests and unit tests belong in each of the software packages to ensure that that's happening properly. But if you can receive a message and then spit out a message that can be processed on the other side, then I think that fills that requirement, Kyle.
Yes and no. So for example, there was like a description of all the implementations, because I was writing very like implementation specific rather than specifications. And George pointed this out with some of the JWS stuff, where I actually put the wrong encryption format and everybody just kind of defined it properly. And so we were all able to encrypt messages back and forth. But if somebody goes in and tests that, then they actually wouldn't be compatible with us. And I think Andrew pointed this out a while back, and some of us switched, and some I didn't get around to switching. So it's like, this is why I want this, is because I'm trying to make that JWE work less of a problem, because I'm realizing I'm the problem with that.
So I'm up for that, but I think we need to be careful. I think it would be probably a mistake to change the black box nature of the test suite. So if we need something different than we have now in order to test that, then we should come up with a way of doing that in a black box manner. Black box meaning the test suite has no interior integration or knowledge of the agent under test. And just communicates with it through the message sending and receiving transports that it supports.
Yeah, that's fine with me. I guess what I'm talking about is the assumption that every other test relies on certain other protocols, and those other protocols are not being tested. They're being implicitly tested, but not explicitly tested.
Open to feedback on how we can improve that. But yes, that is a goal. It would be nice if a test fails on the test suite that it tells you concisely what failed, instead of veiling the thing because of the implicit nature of the test. I can completely agree with that.
Yeah, I think we're in alignment in terms of it. I'll just have to go take a look at the test suite and figure out how to get it in there, as well as like try and figure out how to be succinct about the different implementations as a standard.
Yes.
So I think I've accomplished what I hoped to. I just wanted to sensitize everybody because it felt like I raised a PR and I got one or two head nods and nobody else noticed. And I didn't want to move forward on this without the community thinking about it a little bit more. I think it's a fairly meaningful change if we decide we're going to spend some energy there. I think it's a positive thing. I understand that we're in the middle of like prepping for IAW and so forth, but let's work on this after IAW and see if we can get aligned and get some benefit out of it for everybody.
Agreed, and thank you, Daniel, for both writing those, both proposing this and bringing it up in the call. So I appreciate that. Okay, the next couple of topics we have to do with a couple of topics, including the signature non-repudiation move to JWS. This relates to Kyle's work, and also the DID exchange RFC. This is where Kyle alluded to him being the problem. Well, this is my problem that I created. And then I left on vacation, and a whole discussion happened about this DID exchange protocol. And I didn't have the opportunity to wave a flag in the middle and make a point. And so I want to do that here. And there's a little bit of a meta thing going on. Here's the RFC, the DID exchange protocol. It has a weird, murky history. I screwed up when we migrated the connections protocol from the Indy repo to the Aries repo, and I made some changes at the same time. That turned out to be a huge problem. And so what I've done is we have separately moved over the existing connections protocol as is and moved it to its appropriate status. And then this DID exchange protocol is left in the proposed state. And when you look at the RFC lifecycle here, we start a proposed, and then we go to demonstrated, accepted, adopted, and then finally retired. And it's mentioned that proposed RFCs are a work in progress even after being merged. They have not yet been endorsed by the community, but they seem like reasonable ideas worth exploring. Demonstrated is the next step, and Daniel just talked about that, where obviously we want to demonstrate that in code and as we move forward with representation in the test suite. But there's a weird gap here that the DID exchange protocol has fallen into. There's only a couple of changes made from the connections protocol to the DID exchange protocol. And most of them are naming, and then there's a couple of pending changes that aren't really noted here in the RFC but are important. The name DID exchange, there's some discussion about this in an issue that has since been closed. DID exchange was intended to more precisely convey what's really going on here. And connections sounds like more of the establishment of a relationship, which is a possible outcome, but not the only one of exchanging DIDs. The other thing that we did is we aligned, and I have to find the right spot, but we aligned some of the names that had been named inconsistently, and we fixed them when we did this. The reason why this hadn't moved forward is because it relies upon some signature stuff in the invitation to make it happen that wasn't really done yet, because we hadn't reached a resolution yet on the precise formats and the nature of how to add signatures to an invitation. And so it's been sitting there. And while I was gone, this big discussion happened about it. And then the announcement was added last week up here that the Aries Cloud Agent Python and the Aries framework.net were planning to switch from connections to DID Exchange the week after IW. This made me afraid, because I, as the main recent author of that, of the DID Exchange protocol, don't actually expect it to be implemented yet, because there's a bunch of things that I know need to be fixed about it that aren't yet fixed because of dependent concept issues. And so the thing, there's two problems here. One is we have to decide what to do about DID Exchange and resolve those issues. The meta thing is, I feel like the DID Exchange is an in-process RFC, or in discussion might be a better word here. Because we're still talking about the next version of what it should be. And it hasn't yet reached the milestone where I feel like people should be committing code against implementing that that RFC. Yet that is exactly the stated plans of two of the main code groups within our community. So
Aries Framework Go and the two listed there.
Right. So there's three people that have moved on to this, and I wasn't around because I was on vacation to wave the flag and say, hang on a minute, I don't think we should be doing this yet. And part of it is my own fault because of the confusion on how I brought over the RFC, but now we've split that. And my desire is that we pause this until we make sure that all of the all of Kyle's work in improving the signature stuff with agent messaging is completely represented in here before we actually go on and implement the DID Exchange protocol or finalize it to the point where we should be committing code against that. So we have two issues here, and I don't know which one we want to address first. Probably we should address the meta comment first and then decide what to do about the DID Exchange protocol.
Actually, there is one thing that I think I did not capture in the points that you just were just talking about, which is that the RFC for the connections protocol, as it sits right now in Aries, inside Aries, it is also defining a signature on the response message, and that signature, there is no official definition for that signature algorithm. So that's another point. Even if we say today, okay, let's forget about DID Exchange for now, and let's continue with connections protocol, there's still that hurdle to be overcome.
So there is, and let me update status on that real quick. The reason why that we fumbled that on the bringing that over. The signature stuff never made it to a merged indie hype. We do however have the link to the Hype PR that contains that information, and Kyle and Daniel Bloom were talking earlier this week about actually bringing that over, so there is related documentation. Any update on that, Daniel or Kyle?
I'm not sure what's going on with that. I'm kind of blocked in terms of like timelines to be able to do it, but I can jump in and merge if that's helpful.
So I volunteered to essentially take that original Hype pull request and port it over into an RFC. I'm still in the process of doing that at this point.
Okay, so that should be resolved soon, and we should figure that out. You're correct. We should figure that out regardless, so that there's actually the backup paper trail stuff that we actually have there. And that would resolve that issue. That would help us understand at least what, because that's actually what is implemented by a number of packages today, because of the historical nature of how that work progressed in the indie community and then was brought over. So thank you for bringing that up. So first I'd like to talk about the meta issue, and then because I suspect that the what to do about the data exchange protocol will drop right into the next section about how we plan to handle it in data exchange. The meta question there is, what should I have done in the DID exchange RFC to make it clear that there was still stuff in progress? Is there an official status that we need, or should I have just added the appropriate language at the top of the RFC to indicate that?
So this is what's kind of weird, is our statuses of proposed are not things which should be depended on, but we need implementations to understand if we want to depend on it. Because we've done in the past, and we've ran into this problem quite a bit, where we want to know if something's working and if it actually works for all of us before we move it to an accepted state. But that's the problem, is that if everybody moves to a proposed status by default, and that's the implementation everybody's using, then our process of the RFC lifecycle is not working for us.
I'm being quiet to listen for thoughts and opinions.
Yeah.
More of a question here. So if proposed is to mean that we as a community should not be implementing it yet, who is, you have to move to demonstrate it somehow. I assume that means someone is going to implement it. Who in general is that person going to be? Is that a, does that mean someone like the test suite itself needs to include it to demonstrate it before we should begin to implement against it?
I don't know that I want to gate one code project on another code project per se, but I definitely think we need a way to transition from a rough idea of proposed or an incomplete idea in proposed to a ready for demonstration. And I don't know that we need an official RFC status for this. But I clearly should have done something different than I did. So I want to highlight and figure out what we can do initially for that.
Here's my proposal, Sam. Every RFC at the very top in the kind of the meta fields has a status note field. That's different from the status field. The status is proposed or, you know, whatever. But right underneath that, status note. And we've typically used that to say things like, we pulled this over from Indy, or somebody's working on this right now, or this was demonstrated back in the Connectathon, whatever. We haven't been very formal about what that status note field means, but there are meaningful comments in many of them. I suggest that if you have a proposed thing where you explicitly don't want people working on it yet, that in the status note you say, this is too early to begin implementation. Another place that you could put something so that you could kind of catch people going down the wrong path is down in the bottom of an RFC in the implementation section. You could leave a note saying, there shouldn't be any implementations yet because we're not ready.
I mean, these are all like extra hints that we're dropping, but now that I am eyeing this more carefully, I think the defining or the keyword here is the status itself, which is proposed. So it's just a proposal, and as the README says, it's considered a work in progress, which basically is essentially saying don't rely on this yet. See, my concern with this though is that is forcing astronaut architecture. It forces us all to sit around and have a conversation about what we should be proposing, and we aren't actually getting implementation in discussion.
So this one, this is one.
Well, maybe we just need to have a little bit different perspective on what it means to do an implementation. My perspective is that if you're implementing something that's proposed, then you should just be comfortable with the fact that proposed things can still change. So if you are, great, go implement what's been proposed to whatever level suits you so that you can figure out whether you like it and whether you have substantive comments about it. But don't tell people that they can't change the document because a proposed document is still very fluid. You shouldn't have any expectation of...
Can somebody mute that person? All right, Daniel, go ahead.
I was just going to say that we just shouldn't allow ourselves to have the expectation that a proposed document is somehow solid and stable. It's not stable. It's an implement at your own risk stage. And obviously the person who proposed it probably is implementing at their own risk to get it to the demonstrated status. And they're implementing to whatever level they feel is necessary to get learnings. And anybody else is welcome to implement too, to give whatever opinions they have. But the thing that shouldn't be reasonable is to come back to the community and say, wait, you can't change this on me because I implemented against it. If it's only in the proposed status, that's not a reasonable expectation.
So I think I generally agree, but in this particular case with this protocol, which I don't know what exactly this new protocol will or how it will differ from the old connections protocol. But this, since this is such a core protocol, I'm not entirely clear why we need to define a new protocol to substitute the connections one, as opposed to just evolve the connections one. So I think that this one in particular deserves its own conversation.
So we're crossing the boundary here. We had the meta conversation, and I think the output of the meta conversation is that the status note field is an excellent place to record what the authors feel like is the state of the RFC. And what I should have done is put my thoughts about the state of the RFC or what it was waiting for in that field to make it more clear about the state of that RFC. So I think that's a good result. If we want to decide in the future that a different status is needed, then we can do that. But right now, I think that the best option is for me to just go update that RFC to make it more clear what I intended with the RFC. Go ahead.
Yeah. Sorry, this is Troy. So I mean, I don't want to dig up history on this one, but I'm recalling on previous calls that the idea with DID Exchange is that is what in new implementation should implement. And that connections only came back as grandfathered documentation. So, I mean, this is a good discussion about other protocols. I'm just hesitant about saying that this is what happened on this one.
Well, there's a difference likely between what I intended to happen and what probably happened. And what probably happened is that I poorly chose words or otherwise conveyed the meaning that it was in fact ready to build, and or may have even had the misguided thought that we should have, when in fact we were waiting for the signature information to be updated on this. So the what I intended was for this to be where we talked about the next version until we decided that we were going to move forward. What I think happened was that the feeling was conveyed that that was what everyone should be doing from now on, and the other one was antiquated. And so I think calling out and trying to express that in the status would help that.
I mean, I hear you, Phelan, but I think on this one that we kind of said the DID Exchange was what we were doing in Aries, and Connections was grandfathered for the implementation. So, like, I hear what you're saying. That's good.
Sorry, you're skipping there a little bit. Can you say that last sentence again?
Yeah. There's two issues here, right? I think in this particular case, what we had talked about in previous calls was we were just bringing in DID Exchange, and connections came in as grandfathered documentation for the indie implementations. I think the second point is what George is saying. This is such a core protocol that we can't just...
So you skipped again, right, when really you said this is such a core protocol that... Can you repeat that last section? You skipped again.
So the problem with this one is this isn't a protocol that you can support two at the same time. For the reason that you actually have to send a certain protocol name and version to the other agents. You can, of course, accept the names at once, but you have to choose which name to send.
I'm more concerned about what sort of changes to the action of establishing that connection or exchanging DIDs, as it's now called. What are the new changes planned, and why did we have to move to a new protocol as opposed to just evolve or create a new version of the connections protocol?
So let me, there's a couple of issues here. And let me first talk about what is involved with moving to a differently named one as opposed to moving to a different version. There's a variety of ways you can implement this in code. But it's actually a false notion that you can't support both protocols at the same time. You are correct that you need to know which one to send to the other side, and you can receive both. But that's why we have the feature discovery protocol. And you can, of course, if they support both, you can have a preference. In the presence of two different versions of the same protocol, you have the same issue. You'd actually need to know which one to send if they can accept both of them, and then you could actually receive both as well. Now, internal implementations may make implementing both at the same time difficult, but those difficulties would exist even if you move to a new version, even if it's just the connections protocol version 2 or 1.1 or whatever. You would have the same difficulties there as you would if we actually changed the name of the protocol entirely. So semantically, there's not a lot of differences between the two. The main difference that needs to exist but doesn't yet in the DID exchange protocol is that we move to the new signature format away from what we had before. That's not quite done yet, so it isn't yet represented. While we were having to change it anyway, it was a good opportunity to correct some naming. This was one of the first protocols that we ever really produced and worked on as a community. And we got wiser in the intermediate time, and you could argue that connections is an insubstantial move to DID exchange. My argument is that it is substantial, and it's not enough to make a name change alone. But as long as we're changing the signature standards and the other things that are coming along, I felt like changing the name to more accurately represent what was happening and avoid giving people the wrong impression, which had happened repeatedly, was worth the effort as long as we were making the change at the same time. So there was a couple of of variable names that were changed, attribute names that were changed in the messages, but only a few. And it was more or less a capitalization or a spacing or an underscore issue. And then changing the name to the DID exchange protocol was a convenience as long as we had to adjust to the new signature scheme in order to be a lot cleaner moving forward.
So I think George actually pointed out something that I've realized we may have not thought about when we were first designing this as well as the JWE work, which is traditionally in encryption protocols like TLS, Secure Scuttlebutt, and what are some of the other ones that I came across? I think LibP2P also does this. You perform a key agreement phase as a part of the definition of the encryption protocol. And the DID exchange or the connection protocol was that phase. And then we separated that work from the actual JWE or the data model of the data that happens under encryption. And so my realization here is that the key agreement phase and the JWE stuff likely needs to be merged. And so it's changing the discussion a little bit in terms of how to think about it. But it's going to the point that George made, which is this is a core foundational piece that if it can be changed too much, you run into the TLS proliferation problem, where you have this negotiation hell of trying to figure out which is being used and what. And they've actually realized now in TLS 1.3, it's better to reduce your options than to overproduce options.
That's one of the reasons why I think we should not be implementing the data exchange protocol at this point. We know we have future changes we haven't figured out yet, exactly like you're describing. And I believe as a community, we ought to reach a point where we say, okay, now this contain, since we already have one that works, we already have a connection protocol that works, it's worth spending the time to make sure that this next one has everything that we're aware of fixed before we go to implement it, so that we can avoid producing, you know, several revisions in the process as we have to move to the next thing to fix the problem.
Now, my question to that would be, is it something that works? Because is it something where it's like, it depends on the JWS stuff that I'd never actually finished through because I didn't think, or it depends on the bespoke signature format that I never finished because I didn't think it was the right way to go. Or is it something where it actually is workable? Like, there's a difference between implicit working and explicit working. For example, my JWE stuff defines you have to use Libsodium. And that's what caused problems when we tried to merge it over with people who were not using ED25519 keys.
I agree.
So by works, there's definitely deficiencies, which is why we're having the discussion about moving to data exchange and the signature stuff entirely. But by works, I mean, we have existing software packages that implement the connections protocol now. Now, there's huge deficiencies with it. For example, it's harder to expand as far as the community as we want to. I get that. But if the community feels like it's more important to move forward with an intermediate one, then because it helps us expand the community before we've solved the problems that we hope to solve, then we should do that. But I was unaware that we were at that point.
So, yeah, and I think we're all in alignment in terms of this thinking. I'm just realizing, like, some of that signature stuff was like, you have to use Indie CryptoSign. And in the community at the time, that was fine because we all were relying on Indie SDK. And now the Agent Framework Go is taking a different approach on how to do this stuff, where they're not relying on a specific API like that. Now what they're doing is they're saying, okay, we're going to go and define these things in a different way and try and cut things up differently. And it's causing problems in terms of the implicit assumptions that we made.
It totally is. So the question is what I'd love to do is nail down the specifics of the signature stuff that needs to happen so that we can move forward with implementing the data exchange protocol. But until that happens and we actually, you know, have a table full of nodding heads, then I feel like starting to implement it is still in that risky phase where we have to be willing for things to change. The other thing that concerns me is that the announcement was not that the Aries Cloud Agent Python and the .NET framework were going to add support for the DID exchange protocol. They were going to switch support to the DID exchange protocol, which means they were going to not support the other version. They were not going to support the existing one, which now requires everyone who integrates or wants to integrate with those software packages to abandon the thing that has been working in order to move to the thing that is super unstable moving forward. And my hope is that we can get through the discussion enough of what the changes we actually need to make to the signature portions of the data exchange protocol so that then we can target that one and we're not being asked to move to an unstable RFC.
All righty. Yeah, that'll make sense to me in terms of thinking about it and the process of which we handle it.
So I'll just put my concern there, though, that without any timeline, you're kind of leaving the new implementations in a precarious position.
And I totally understand your desire to not go implement the old protocol because we already decided we're moving off of that one and it would be wasted effort.
It's also, we don't have any of the indie primitives.
Yes, so it would be difficult. So neither one of these is a great, you know, waiting a long time and you know, moving back to the old one is not great. How long do we think it's going to take to resolve? The only thing that I'm aware of that needs to actually be changed is the signature portions of the DID exchange protocol. What's remaining to correct these?
Is that a question for Kyle or?
Yes, there, and everyone else.
That's, I guess my thinking on it is it goes back to the key agreement aspect as well. You know, I've been thinking about this JWE stuff for a while, and this has been the problem. Is I recognize I'm a bottleneck in terms of knowledge about what's going on with that. And more than anything, I would like to unblock people by sharing what I know and having them get into the process and help with the RFCs to actually write it. And Troy and I'm not sure of the name, I recognize the username, Baja SK, as well as G. Emmeringer, have done a lot of that, and they've picked up the knowledge, but not to the point where I think they feel comfortable writing an RFC about it. And so it's one of those things where with this as well, it's running into the same problem where it's dependent on these other things that I was defining that I never finished. And it's becoming a problem, common problem that I've created.
Are you going to be at IAW, Kyle?
Yes.
Are there others interested in the topic that will also be at IAW?
Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, I'll be there too.
What I'm hoping we can do between now and IAW is gather and define the problem well enough that we can make as much forward progress as we can, so that shortly after IAW we can make whatever changes need to be made into the DID exchange protocol, and then we can move that to a now ready to accept. You know, in the status note of this RFC, so that we can then all move to it, right? My goal is to move to it as soon as possible, but I feel like moving to some sort of intermediate thing is not a great plan. That's not as good as having it land on our laps today, but do we feel like that's a reasonable thing to do in the next few days and while we're at IAW?
Absolutely.
I think it's a perfect session idea for IAW.
Sessions idea? Did I hear that right?
Sessions.
So let's do that then. I think that the number one blocker for larger interoperability of other software packages like the Go Work and others is to get to the DID exchange protocol, with the DID exchange protocol actually in a state of ready to be adopted. So let's try and do that. I will try and be as familiar as I can with the topics before we get there. If there's any conversation that can happen on the Aries channels prior to that, then that would be good. And then we'll hope to make lots of progress while we're there at IAW so that we can iron this out and make it happen.
Hey, Troy or George, are either of you going to be attending IAW?
So I'm not, others from the organization, but George and I are not.
Okay. As long as somebody is there that represents you guys, I want to make sure your voices are being heard in terms of this, because as a forewarning, I'm going to start introducing some concepts that have been kicking around in my head right now that I think are going to help you guys, but I want to make sure that we're getting your input in terms of the problem. And as an example, it's merging the DID exchange protocol with the JWE protocol, and defining all of the JWE compliance stuff with the DID exchange protocol into a single RFC.
Could we maybe consider whenever we get an IAW session scheduled, sending an invitation to Troy and George or others that are important stakeholders and seeing if we could conference them in?
Absolutely. I think that would be very important.
That'd be awesome. In particular, it might help if you get one of the conference rooms with a workable projector and so that and sound system so that we can make that happen.
That's an excellent suggestion. Thank you, Daniel.
Because I know there's going to be other people in this. If we do this right, this is going to be the thing that bridges us with the interrupt project going on with DIF. If we get their stakeholder opinions in this as well, I think we can get everybody within both communities operating on common crypto ground.
Which would be awesome. I know that Jolacom and Uport as well have a vested interest in having this land in a compatible way. So, and the easiest place probably with all those parties involved is to have it happen at IAW. And we will do what we can to conference those of you in. We can either post that information on the Aries channel. It's probably the easiest way to make that happen. It might be relatively quiet given that IAW is going on, and so it'd be easy to see. And that way, you know, people that are interested can join into those IAW sessions. They tend to be either on the hour or the half hour, depending on the day, and they're an hour long. Just as a point of information, if you see links pop up next week. Okay, good. What haven't we talked about relating to the DID exchange RFC that isn't related to the signature portion? Are there other issues that need to be discussed?
Well, I mean, for one, it's going to be how I propose that we merge these two together.
Sure, and if this ends up being a whole new RFC by then, that's also fine. Or it's a new RFC and we throw this one away.
That's probably the direction that we go, but I want it to be done in such a way that I'm not the blocker on it.
So, Kyle, you've mentioned several times, you've referred to it as the JWS RFC. Is that something that currently exists in Aries RFCs, or where is it?
It's the it's currently, I think, defined as, it's 66 in features. And it's defined as the connection envelope. I explicitly didn't define the signature decorator in there because I wanted to see if that was working. And I wanted to decouple the work from the wire level message format of non-repudiable signatures and combining it with the content layer signature decorator. But I wanted them to be the same. And so this is where I'm thinking, like, they should be together. As well as the DID exchange should be merged together as well. The DID exchange, JWE, JWS should all be combined together into a single wire level format protocol. And then the SIG decorator should operate on JWS's, doing it the, but define its own separate RFC. And then we don't, in the DID exchange protocol, we don't rely on the SIG decorator.
Okay. I'll have to unpack that at my own pace later on. Thanks.
Yeah, no problem. So
if I can say it again, trying to use slightly less precise Kyle terms, what we need to do is add the ability to have non-repudiable messages as a whole. And then, and that's what the DID exchange protocol will rely on, rather than having... rather than using the signature portion. This, being able to sign a portion of a message is really useful from a repudiability standpoint, but we also need the ability to just sign the entire message. And so if we go the sign the entire message route first, and this relies upon that, then we can avoid having to nail down the portion of the message signing till later.
I think...
Perfect translation.
I think to add more clarity to that, the observations were a while ago that we, you know, obviously DIDCOM messages are composed into two layers, the content layer and the envelope layer, and we wanted several properties in the envelope. We wanted to be able to have it encrypted to an audience or not encrypted to an audience, and then we wanted to have signing, so encryption plus non-repudiation or just non-repudiation when it wasn't encrypted. So it's all about containing those properties inside the envelope layer, and then the content layer should, you know, when the content is unpacked, this metadata about the envelope it was sent in would come across. And that was kind of the decomposition of the concerns.
Yep. Okay. Other concerns, I'm mindful. I want to leave some time to talk about versioning decorators because that's another thing that we need to move forward on. Other things related to the data exchange protocol that we have not brought up so far.
I guess for me, I just want a clarifying check. Does everyone feel like we're heading in the right direction with DID exchange? Because I know like right now we're blocking the Go implementation. So do you feel adequate that this plan is going to work for you, or do you feel like there's risks that haven't been stated yet?
I just heard a sigh. Someone's thinking.
I mean, the risk in my mind is just the concern in my mind is when are we going to get to something that we can have interop with the other agents and frameworks with.
Yes, that's my primary concern too.
For me. I as well share the same concern. Okay, I just wanted to make sure that there weren't any concerns that weren't being voiced.
So I mean, if we're talking about that kind of that more specific stuff, I mean, I like the moves to do Jose and JWS and not be defining custom objects. I think that's the right things to do. Not relying on indie primitives is the right thing to do in my mind as well.
Okay. Sounds good. Yeah. I've been thinking about these things in terms of like how we can do it. And I have some ideas, but it's still cooking in my oven, and I want it to be shared because it shouldn't rely on me at this point. I think we have enough people in the community who understand it that we can not be blocked by it anymore.
So my concern is actually in contradistinction to the last comment is that Jose and JWT have some weaknesses. And so merely stating we should be doing that instead of rolling your own must also be caveated with that. And we're not going to use those parts of Jose and WT in those forms that have weaknesses. So you're going to do a special version of them. Otherwise, you're just inheriting all of the stuff that they didn't fix when they did it wrong the first time. And they've addressed those and people understand them, but not everybody understands them and are using them. So that's my concern. So having a transport agnostic protocol that is also secure is the problem. And using an open standard that was designed by committee may not necessarily get you where you want to go unless you're very careful.
Plus one.
I hear your concern, and I agree with it at the cryptographic layer. My concern has always ran into how do we integrate with others? For example, how do you integrate with an OpenID Connect system if you're not using JWEs?
I think adoption and interoperability are the most important things to a point. And so that's why I just say the caveat is if you can find a path through it that works using you know, the most interoperable thing that you can use, then that's probably the best approach. But make sure that you do the right path. And so wrapping packets in a signature so that the whole packet is wrapped, not just part of the packet, is one of those things that you do. If you don't do that, then you just open up a can of worms. Sign after encrypt is another one of those things that if you do that, that's best practices. If you do it differently because you want to be interoperable, because you want to save on computation or something like that, then then life gets complicated. So sometimes people make performance decisions at the cost of security when performance is a rapidly decreasing constraint, right? Every year, the performance that you have, the requirements for these cryptographic things become less and less of an issue. But once you bake it into a standard, you know that it's hard to unbake it. So I would always err on the side of being conservative. I would always err on the side of wrapping the whole packet in signature, making it non-reputable if I have a choice. Someone might say, well, yeah, but you don't always need it. And I'd say, well, but always make it so that in case you need it, that it's part of your standard that you can do it, that everybody understands how to do it. It's not an option that some people can implement, you know, or that's easy for people to defeat. I mean, if somebody sends you a packet wrapped in a signature, you know how to deal with it. Because it's there. Anyway, that's my comment.
So I'll just say it again, +1 to make sure it's the most interoperable method forward. And I'm very leery of roll your own ideas.
Yep.
So in a small community like this.
So good comments. I would like to turn the remaining of the time over to the decorative versioning topic. This is shown up mostly in this this issue. Daniel and Tobias, can you talk about this, talk to this for a minute?
Yeah, can I just frame it? I think I can do it in 1 minute.
I'm happy to let you share too if you'd like, or I can drive.
Oh, that's okay. Basically, this is a very long discussion. RFC 11, needed to be moved to accepted. We're using decorators pretty extensively. We understand mostly how they work. There are implementations. However, there was an outstanding question, which is how do we version them? And we let that simmer for a long time. Then I proposed one answer. Tobias came back and said he was concerned about the ramifications of kind of having granular versioning on decorators in terms of how somebody could sign up for, you know, conformance. They'd have too many different things to track, too much negotiation to worry about. So he proposed a little bit different mechanism. And ever since the end of that thread, it's kind of just simmered without a resolution. It's been about a month now. So my intention was see if it was worth discussing here. What do you want to say, Tobias?
Yeah, I think that's a great summary. I think the only other observation I would make is this intersects with another issue I believe Kyle raised a while ago, that is, should some decorators be supported? And to summarize my view on it, I think versioning decorators is a great feature. I think, though, there is a subset of functions that are currently regarded as decorators that would be independently versionable that I think are a good candidate to be a part of a base protocol rather than independently versioned. So, and I think that there, in my eyes, is sufficient evidence in previous approaches to messaging semantics around these conventions that describe certain features that we have created as decorators. It is often better to bring them together into kind of one core protocol version, and they are versioned as a group. JWT's Jose is a great example of this. You define the behavior of a whole bunch of fields. You further constrain the behavior in OpenID Connect. And I think UMF, Universal Messaging Format, which has a lot of themes similar to this, also does that. It has a whole bunch of fields around who the sender is, how the message is delivered, those sorts of features. They become a part of a core protocol, and then anything that is likely to be versioned at a higher rate and doesn't want to be at the mercy of some form of centralized versioning of the overall messaging protocol becomes an optional decorator that is free to be adopted by the community at will.
So I know Daniel has mentioned that versioning the whole thing is like trying to version the internet, and I'm inclined to agree. I think that we might reach a point where we can bundle a whole bunch of versions like that together, but I think that it would be a fairly critical mistake to attempt to do that at this point.
So I think, and to respond to that though, I think things like Jose, JWT defined structures where they define an issuer, a subject field, expiry, IAT, standard things about how things like when a message expires, when it's issued after, where you can reasonably expect to find certain pieces of information and what they are. I think Jose is a great example of broad adoption about similar messaging semantics, where you can add in additional optional claims on top, where people can create their own meanings and add in things like versioning support on top, while still having a core like surface to agree upon common things. That's my concern, because I think that if we don't have some of these things at core, you're going to be negotiating on the most trivial things. Like, you could have five or six different versions around something that is very core to message delivery and understanding the contents in the message.
I think that I'd love to have that problem before we try and solve it, because I don't actually think we're going to have that problem.
I actually fall on the other side. I think TLS is a perfect example of this, where they did fall on that problem because they created too many options and too many people wanted to do it in too many different ways.
That is one of the weaknesses of Jose, is that problem. OpenVPN is another example, OpenSSL. The over agility of your crypto suite is as much a problem as anything. And if you have to narrow it, you want to narrow it as narrow as possible, but still leave just enough agility that you can replace it when you discover vulnerability and no more.
So it feels to me like there's two different questions that are related, but need to be kept separate in our minds. One is, do we need granular versioning on decorators? And the other is, do we want to version them as a unit? It seems to me that in a given protocol, let's take the connection protocol and the tilde sig decorator. If the connection protocol is at version X, maybe its spec needs to declare, we need, in order to support this version of the protocol, version X, you must have decorator version Y or greater. That seems like a very reasonable thing, and that could be done without versioning things as a unit. And it feels to me like doing that would address part of the concern. Where I'm feeling uncomfortable is the notion that we should identify a set of things and version them as a unit, where you can just say, well, I'm doing DIDCOM version 1, therefore that means this version of this decorator, this version of this thing, this version. It feels to me like too much coordination, and that it becomes fragile. It should be possible for somebody to optionally upgrade from decorator version 1 to decorator version 1.03, which probably means introducing some new field that nobody cares about, and nobody should care about it.
Yeah, and then that's fine as long as you're going up. But as soon as you have breaking changes where you need to put a ceiling, so say I'm on the connection protocol and I don't support version 2, then I also need to put a session, I also need to put a ceiling on the type of behavior of what, I don't know, say we're doing message expiry. For example, in Jose-based structures, I get a JWT, I always know that the expression of when that message is due to expire, when that token is due to expire, is EXP. If we had a timing decorator that describes that at version 1.0 for some non-reputable message, say the connection invite, and then we decide to call it EXP IRE, like, you know,
well, that would require us to change the version of the decorator to version 2, because that's a breaking change.
Yes, and then I'm saying though that some people might, because the protocols are all independent, the connection protocol might jump straight to version 2, and something else like signing certain requests or some other thing might stay on version 1. Then you've created this massive negotiation surface where you're saying the consumer needs to probably support both decorators if they've got protocols that are sitting in both camps, and try and coordinate families of related protocols that then rely on decorators and get everyone to line up to move so they can deprecate one or maintain support for both. And
so I think Daniel is correct that there's two issues here. One is versioning of different decorators, which the larger discussion does not discount. And then the secondary discussion has to talk about the versioning in a group. I feel like the versioning in a group is holding up the discussion of versioning decorators.
And yes. I'd like to tease out a point, though, that I'm not against versioning separate decorators. I'm just saying that there is a subset that exists that is core to DidCom.
That's a good argument, but it's a separate argument. And I think it's holding up the adoption of version decorators, which would be a good move forward. So what I'm proposing is that we have let's first get the version decorators to solve those problems that it does. And what you're talking about is a further optimization that is really useful on top of that, but it doesn't preclude the need for version decorators.
Yeah, I do. I understand that, and I'm not going to stand in the way of it. However, I would say that kicking this proverbial can down the road and not seeking a resolution around how we should treat certain core behaviors in DidCom is only going to get more complicated.
So I'm not asking you to kick it down the road. I'm asking you to kick it to immediately after we can talk about the just version decorators and then immediately start the conversation again. But I feel like I feel like we're conflating the two, and that's preventing the progress that we can make in the shorter term while we're having the larger discussion. So we're blocking an uncontroversial thing with a controversial thing.
Yeah. Okay. I'm happy to allow like versioning decorators to proceed because that aspect isn't controversial. But I think potentially the implication, the problem is if we allow it to proceed now and we get versioning time before we get consensus around a subset of them potentially not should not be subject to individual versioning, then we are in a kind of a complicated mess. So
explain or comment a little bit more about what you mean by should not be subject to individual versioning. Are you saying that you could not evolve? Let's say you've got five core decorators. Are you saying that I couldn't pick decorator three out of that list and update its version independently?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying there should be a subset of things like subset of behaviors and expressions out of some of the decorators we've got defined, which I think are like core to the expression of key information in DidCom that should be regarded as like just almost core properties of messaging semantics. And then anything else that is optional, that you have behavior that is not broadly supported and not even widely used, then that's fine. But I think, you know, things like timing and message expiry and those sorts of information and reliable sort of understanding of being able to find those fields in a completely uncontroversial manner, and they're not subject to change anyway, I don't believe why we shouldn't just sort of bring them together.
Well, what's the practical difference between, let's say that you lock all five of these version or all five of these decorators to a single version number, and then you need to add a field for some experimental work you're doing with a protocol that's not currently accepted by the community. And so you want to add a field to decorator three, but you can't, you're blocked because that decorator can never evolve unless all the other things evolve with it. That's option one. Or option two, saying what we locked is version one of decorator one, version two of decorator two, version zero of decorator three, whatever. You pick a version for each of those and you lock everybody to those. But now the decorators can have as many versions as you want. It's just that you're not guaranteeing to use the evolved version when you're using them as a unit in the other context.
Yeah, I think we're just going to get into a massive versioning spaghetti if we give everything a version like that. And all I'm saying is that I think, you know, if you look at a couple of different examples, you take a couple of the core properties of, you know, what are some core fundamental things like message type and message ID. We kind of agreed and said all messages should have those. I think all I'm saying is there are a few other properties that we have as decorators that are kind of core that don't feature in every message, but should be at that core level. So message ID and message type, for example, there's nothing that defines that behavior. We don't have a protocol version. We just sort of say that's did.com. So if we ever wanted to revise that semantics, say as the type URI, we have, because we don't have a message protocol version for that semantics for ID and type, we can't change that. And that's okay, but I guess, but I'm just saying, I think some of the common behaviors stems beyond just ID and type. I think some things like timing and those sorts of things that are evident in other protocols that have been standardized upon are good candidates to push into being well understood.
So I'm going to side somewhere in the middle, because I think I agree with Daniel that if you are allowed to lock versions, not allow greater than, but are able to say it must be equal to, that you can't, that there's functionally no difference between saying here is a group version with these specific elements that are locked to these versions, and then anybody enforcing that protocol will say, if you're not exactly this version, I'm not going to talk to you. It does open the door for people to try to, but if you, as soon as you start allowing people to do greater thans, greater than or equals, then you'll get the mess that Tobias is talking about. And that's a legitimate concern. The way binary protocols have approached that is they allow, specifically in Daniel's example, they allow you to have blank fields that are ignorable. And so you can put stuff in those fields, but somebody, a compliant use of the protocol ignores those fields. It doesn't break. It doesn't change your version. It doesn't make the packets drop. It's just you can put stuff there. And then at some later date, once you've sussed out all the details of how you want those fields to actually work, then you have a version where then those fields now become meaningful to people who are implementing that. The same thing could be had with decorators. If you want to have the flexibility to play around with fields without breaking the versioning, then you change your semantic of the decorator to have fields that are ignorable.
That's exactly the defined semantics of decorators. That's the defined semantics of all of them.
If it doesn't, if adding a field doesn't break the version of the decorator, then it's not a problem. You can lock the version and still be compliant and still stick stuff in the decorator.
The bottom line, Tobias, is the versioning mess that you're talking about with negotiation. You're not getting rid of the versioning mess. You're just shifting it. What you're shifting it to is community conversations where everybody has to agree to release a whole bunch of stuff together. And we've heard on this call, the effort to figure out to what extent we're going to align around the DID exchange protocol and what its version is. Now, if you multiply that by all of the different decorators that you're imagining sticking in the core, I think you really set a high bar for community alignment. Maybe it's worth it, but my gut is telling me it's not. So, and your gut's telling you it is. So I guess I've got to scratch my head some more.
Yeah, so I agree. Getting consensus is harder, but without any form of logical centralization around a community, which is what we're saying, if everyone did individual versioning, I think you're creating a recipe for silos on trivial things. So the biggest things I'm concerned about is threading, that sort of stuff, and to a lesser extent, things like timing. You know, a message and how it's related to the message it was threaded from, like request response, that's fundamental to me. And that really shouldn't be, that should be regarded right at the core. So it shouldn't be, I can change the representation of that and have to negotiate on how messages are related in a chain. Like, it's a messaging, we're building basically a messaging protocol. I think something like threading should just be locked solid in terms of how messages relate. And I think versioning that separately could be a big mess.
my cynical side says, let's approve individual versioning now, and then it immediately begin to find community consensus for the first version, and we'll see how long it takes.
Is it possible that some of the things that Tobias just mentioned, like timing and threads, shouldn't actually be decorators, but they should be things required by any message protocol, such as similar to what @type is?
So I'm not saying required, just to be very careful and jump in there. I'm saying, like, if you look at the JWT structure, they define a whole bunch of fields, and they're like, this field is where you put an issuer. Sure, you could create a new field called issuer one and stick it there. And if you have a negotiation with another party that you're going to use that field rather than the standard one, that's fine. But I'm saying, like, define the semantics at the level. So it's like, when you want to define this message as related to another, this is how it looks until, you know, the whole protocol gets reversioned, or for all intents and purposes never gets reversioned, because Jose or JWT's never reversioned any of that sort of stuff.
I feel like that's kind of what we have now. Procedural announcement, we're 7 minutes past the meeting, normal meeting end. But I'm happy to talk for another minute if this would help. I think the argument that you're making, Tobias, is that unless we have core one version together and we do work to lock those versions, that introducing decorator versioning would actually cause more problems. Is that what you're arguing?
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, because if we just, so for example, say we extended threading because, you know, we wanted to do N-wise relationships and we did something that was kind of disruptive and it caused a breaking change on threading. I mean, I understand that we would try not to, but say we did and we had threading 2.0 and the connection protocol up-revved and everyone sort of did that, well, the credential exchange and, I don't know, some other basic message or something like that decided to still use one. Now it's like, okay, now I have two different representations of threading. One of the core protocols, like connection, uses 2.0. The other two protocols use 1.0. You've just created, like, kind of four sort of separate communities that could be working on these individual components that need to coordinate. You know, one team that could be working on the representation of threading, one team that works on did exchange or community. I know there will be overlap, but I'm saying by creating the potential for separation, it just feels dangerous to me.
My suggestion for compromise that other people have proposed is that we have a separate protocol stack versioning that locks the individual decorator versioning, which means people can iterate and improve the decorators, but they're non-compliant as soon as they do that. And until community comes to consensus on a new set and says, okay, now the protocol stack version is this version, and that version means these decorators have these versions, then they're non-compliant. And that way you get both.
Harmful to forward progress. Because if I stand up an agent that has the next version that has not been bundled into that global version, and I have one stood up that does accept the threading 2.0, it means that no one can use it until it does. Yeah, we have a feature discovery protocol so that I can tell what decorators the other one support. We haven't talked about using decorators in there, but we have talked about it, but even though it's not in the RFC yet, but being able to see that those decorators are in fact supported means that I then know that I can use that decorator to communicate with that other agent.
Yeah, and as soon as you say that now, you're going to make me want to join Tobias, because that is what causes all these cryptographic problems, is people differentially mixing and matching the elements of the protocol to try to do something. You basically need to be able to give people the opportunity to say, you know what, if you're not going to comply with what is a known protocol, a known version, if you're not going to be able to down version to the version that I want so that I can guarantee
exactly
behavior.
But I am allowing you to do that. If your agent doesn't support the newer version, but you do support the old one, I can still talk that older version to you.
So what you're saying,
protocol stack version doesn't stop people from doing stuff. It isn't a barrier anymore.
You said lock. you said that the protocol locks it to a specific thing, and no one can go past that. It's not allowed.
No. I don't have to. When I do an implementation, I can set my implementation to say, do not talk to people that are not locked to this version. If they change
procedural
it, don't talk
point. Procedural point here. I think you guys have ran into a deeper discussion that is being had all over technology. And this discussion will continue for a while. So should we say that we're going to call it here? And you guys can continue this offline.
What I'd love to do is say, let's continue it for versioning individual decorators, but Tobias is making the argument that that's dangerous.
So let's clarify my point. I'm happy to not stand in the way of creating individual versioning for decorators. I am putting out a strong warning that if we do not follow this up immediately with a conversation about which ones should not be subjected to that, i.e. shifting some of the decorators, we are going to probably under approving this, have versioning decorators, we are in for, you know, problems. But I'm not going to stand in the way of progress if, you know, we think that it's a better way to order.
You know, what we could do that would feel like this is a compromise. It's similar to the one that Sam just proposed, but slightly different. If we could come up with a small list of decorators, maybe the timing decorator and the thread decorator, maybe there's one more or something. If we could come up with a very small set that we say, these have enough mutual dependencies and they're so important as a unit that we want to hook them to the same wagon. We want to make them all version together. Then we could write an RFC called core decorators and put all of those in there. The thing that I'm opposed to is feeling like as a general strategy, decorators in general should never be versioned because we have so many of them that are core and all this stuff. You'd make me happier if you could give me a very short enumerated list.
That's reasonable.
I think it's probably poorly articulated, but that was my envisioning. I wasn't saying that all decorators, I don't want to remove the innovation that of being able to plug in a new decorator, add support for it, version it separately because it's used in one particular sort of protocol. I don't want to remove that aspect of innovation, but I just think coming back to probably Kyle's issue articulates it the best. Should some of the decorators be required or core, like ones like threading and potentially timing, very short list, we should have, you know, some trapping around that and what it means to be like, you know, fundamental DIDCOM messaging.
So what if we did this, Sam? This is to Sam Curran. You said you didn't want to hold up the versioning of decorators in general. What if we said we won't hold it up as soon as we can articulate what we think are the special ones? If we can come up with a list and everybody nods their head and says, yeah, we really agree those are special. And you might, right now, you could convince me probably that threading is special, and you could probably convince me that timing is special. I'm not sure you could convince me of anything else, but maybe. Anyway, we get that short list, and as soon as we get that short list, we say, okay, now it's no longer dangerous to say, sure, knock yourself out, version decorators, but these special ones require special handling. That would make Tobias happy. It wouldn't cause me too much rolling over in my grave kind of angst, although I'm a little bit uncomfortable the other way. I think we're exchanging negotiation hell in software for negotiation hell on community calls, and time will tell whether that's a good trade.
Also, I think you just said that you're dead, by the way. So either that or you like hanging out in coffins. I'm not sure which is worse. So
he's projecting.
Yeah. I would be okay with that. And we can have that conversation. I think threading is not too hard to convince me on. I'm less convinced that timing is an important one. I'm okay generally with the concept of a few restricted ones. I am nervous about preventing our own future innovation because we thought it was a good idea to lock these things into a fairly rigid state. So So yes, I could be convinced on a small list. And I think that's a good compromise.
Might I point out as well, this is a underlying, there's a deeper discussion here, which is what is a decorator and what should actually be defined in protocols, even though they're similar. And maybe that's one of the things that is pinning this is some things were called decorators that probably shouldn't have been.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And I think that's at the heart of the thing, you know, like identifying a message, core to it. We called that an ID, but identifying it in relation to the other messages that it was sent, we decided that was, you know, decorated functionality. Whereas I would argue a request, you know, in a request response pattern, the request is heavily, you know, the response is heavily related to the request. Or that relationship should be core.
Which makes decorators used for the purpose of injecting those dependencies probably more critical decorators, right? Because I think that's the problem is that you want to use decorators as a way of applying something to set of messages in a flexible way. But once you make that application, you've got to do it right or the world falls apart from the implementation point of view.
Okay, so let's agree that we'll have a conversation. Let's use the GitHub issue as a place to try to settle on what are these core things that are uncontroversial. And as soon as we get to consensus there, then we can take the next step and merge the RFC with a updated status and march forward.
Okay, that's a good plan. Okay, we're now 18 minutes over, but that was good. Sounds good, and then we will not be having, reminder, we'll not be having a meeting next week while we're at IW, and hopefully as many of these conversations continue as possible.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, all.
Thanks, everybody. Great discussions today.
Okay, bye.